From NPR Music, welcome to a live concert from All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. When I listened to Craig Finn, the songwriter and storyteller, singer and guitarist from the band Hold Steady, he seems more novelist or playwright than a rock and roller. When I met him, he looked more like Steve Allen than Bruce Springsteen. But taking the stage at the 930 Club, Craig Finn fits in so well with his rock and roll pals. He's a bit pent up, but he's also full of joy. On this live concert podcast, the band from New York sing about their Minnesota roots and their fictional friends and their fictional lovers. At the end of the concert, an interview with Craig Finn and singer Eddie Argus from the band Art Brut. Art Brut were the opening act that night at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C. You can hear Art Brut in concert as part of this series as well. A quick side note, we're taking a poll. Vote for your favorite CD of the year. That vote closes December 17th. You can pick five of them. Go to our website, npr.org/allsongs, and go vote. Also, take a look and a listen to the All Songs Considered weblog. The musical conversation's informative, and sometimes it's provocative. Come by and leave a comment. That's the All Songs Considered blog. I'm Bob Boylan.
Stagehand just walked across the stage here, flashing a light. That usually is a signal back to the sound guy in the back, and in fact it is. The house lights are off. And we'll wait for Craig Finn, Tad Kubler, Franz Nicolai, and the band to take the stage. Here they come. I'm Bob Boylan with All Songs Considered from NPR Music. Enjoy the show, everybody.
She met me, but she said there's gonna come a time when I'm gonna have to go with whoever's gonna get me the highest. What's the conversation if we go into the rest of this? I ain't even been all that much for conservation. I kinda take these awkward silences. She had those Bones Brigade videos and she knew her back and forth. She slept with so many skaters. She had a place to herself. She had a couple hundred bucks. Yeah, nothing but the number. Like the guy who always answers the drawer. He always knows exactly what you can do his house for. And I could be lost for all this Hubbard Hubbard stuff. You know, I don't really dread all that much of... I have to try so hard not to fall in love. I have to concentrate when we go. She might have the words along to running up that hill. So song that scratched into her soul. She never heard that song before. She's still got that metaphor. You know, a couple of people that have switched places before. And I like the crowds at these really big shows. People touching people that they don't even know. And girls in America, there's such a sad time together, sucking off each other at the demonstration, making sure they make a straight, crushing one another, colossal expectations, depending on discipline and sleeping late. The really cool kisser wasn't all that strict of a Christian. She was a damn good dancer, but she wasn't all that great of a girl. Clear. Tonight it's like he's stuck between stations on the radio. You know, the Chival and Sean Berryman, they took a little walk together, ended up on Washington all talking to the river. He said, I surrounded myself with doctors and deep thinkers, big heads and soft bodies make for lousy lovers. There was a night that we thought that Sean Berryman could fly. He did, so he died. Said, you're pretty good with words. Words won't save your life, and they didn't, so he died. And he was drunk and exhausted, critically acclaimed and respected. And he loved the golfers, but hated all the Toronto winter. So I'm feeling about his time of dehydration. Well, that's a kind of fuzzy, but that last night he had total retention. You know, these Twin City kisses, they sound like clicks and hisses, but we all come down and drown. in the Mississippi River. We drink and we drop, and now we crumble in the dust. We get wet when we corrode, and now we're covered up in rust. We drink and we drop, and now we crumble in the dust. We get wet when we corrode, and now we're covered up in rust. She was a really cool kisser, and she wasn't all that strict of a Christian. She was a damn good dancer, but she wasn't all that great of a girlfriend. And he likes a warm feeling, but he's tired of all that dehydration. It was just a crystal clear, but she not as like he stuck between station. And all these twits and he kisses, they sound like clicks and hisses, and we all come down and drown. It's good to be back in DC. Moving pictures got us through the September. It's all about me, 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 and you. They met in half nude and half true. It was a cock-sucking summer. I spent half the time trying to get paid from our savior. We were switching through the city center, and I did a couple favors for these guys. They look like the Tuscan Raiders. This song owes its roots, or owes this kind of whole vibe to DC hardcore. But basically the idea of hardcore when it was good is called Stay Positive. I got a lot of old friends that are getting back in touch, and it's good feeling, yeah, it feels pretty good. I get a lot of double takes when I'm coming around the corners, and it's mostly pretty nice, yeah, it's mostly pretty alright. Cause most kids give me credit for being down with it when it was back in the day, yeah, back when things were different, when the youth of today. And the early 7 seconds taught me some of my most valuable lessons. Time when the scene will seem less sunny, it'll probably get druggy, and the kids will seem too skinny. There's gonna come a time when she's gonna have to go with whoever's gonna get her the highest. There's gonna come a time when the true scene leaders will forget where they differ and get big picture. Cause these kids at the shows, they'll have kids of their own, and these sing-along songs will be our scriptures. Gotta stay positive. We gotta stay positive. I knew it'd be to ride at the unified scene. All these little lambs from my dreams, well, they were there too. But it's one thing to start it with a positive jam, and it's another thing to see it on through. You know, I couldn't have even done this if it wasn't for you. You gotta stay positive. Hollywood crossed to Guatemala. Christian, if they think you're a Christian, then they won't bring in the drug. And if they think you're a Catholic, they just want to be your boss. Hollywood cross the water, Mom. She's with those cats up on the banks of the river. And it's sketchy in the night, but they must be laid low in the light. Hey, sweet recovery, come on, watch your way into the water with me. There's cats down on the banks of the river. Well, they say black and tan. They're in a cat in the chaos. We don't got time to mix that shit together. Get on your subject, busy man. Instead of taking these awkward silences, cause I grew up in denial. Went to school in Massachusetts. I like to party on the problem lots. And I can't even stand it when I'm banging. But still trying to shake it. Half naked and three quarters wasted. She was completely alone. I saw him at the riverbank. He was breaking bread and giving thanks. But with crosses made of pipes and planks, leaned up against the night to shine. So take your hand, hold your breath, and then I'll tap your head. And then when you wake up again, you'll be high as hell and born again. About a guy and a girl and a horse. It's got Chips Ahoy. She put $900 on the fifth horse in the sixth race. I think his name is Chips Ahoy. Came out sixth ranks ahead. We spent the whole next weekend high. I thought that she had us a tip that she got from some other boy. We were all in joy. I got a girl and she's going out to work. She can tell which horse is gonna finish it first. Hey, some nice of painkillers to make the pain even worse. Came in six lengths ahead. We spent the whole next weekend high. I love this girl, but I can't tell what she's having a good time. And it was just a miniature high. You won't let me touch you. Touch. She gets migraine headaches when she does it too much. She always does it too much. Thank you. those guys still feeling good about their liquor on. And the girls are kind of flirting with the setting sun. And we all kind of fumbled through that jitterbug. We're like, we were all powered up on some new upper drug. Everyone was funny, everyone was pretty, everyone was coming towards the center of the city. The dance floor was crowded, but the bathrooms were worse. We kissed in your car and we drank from your purse. Our mouth on our nose, so the chaperone said that we were dancing too close. We had some ass tonight. Every song was live. Yeah, that wine was signed. Friends are pretty cool, but friends are acting cool, and there weren't any fight. There's usually one or two. And some guys, they get a little bit of time. Some girls, they just got something to prove. We had some massive hype. We had some crushing lows. We had those rusty little crosses. We had those outrageous hardcore matinee shows. I was down on my knees, and the chaperone said that it was time for me to leave. We had some ass tonight. Every song was right. You know that wine was done. Your friends are pretty cool. My friends are acting cool. There weren't any fun. There's usually one or two. Hey, some guys should get a little bit outside. Some girls that got something to prove. We had some massive night. 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 Every song was right. You know that wine was shy. The friends are pretty cool. And my friends are acting cool. She had a gun in her mouth. She was shooting up in her dream. He said we've been crowned the king and the queen. The party girl. She said these kids, she's with her selling it. So we sailed off on such separate trips. She got pinned down at that party girl. And I went away to school that fall. She stuck around with all those stick pin dolls. Sped through the scene until the engine stalled. At some suburban shopping mall. Sailed away on such separate trips and she got pinned down at that party bell. Sailed away on such separate trips and she got pinned down at that party bell. And I came back to start a band, of course. I started walking through the crystal court. She made a little scene by those revolving doors. She's gonna walk around and drink some more. So we walked across that Great Bell Bridge into bright new Minneapolis. And I think that all those things I did were just momentum from the party then. So I went on some separate trips and she got pinned down at that party then. So I went on some separate trips and she got pinned down at that party then. Such separate trips and she got pinned down at that party bed. So I'm so separate got pinned down. And I'm pretty sure we kiss. We'll be right back. around and drink some more. Gonna walk 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 around, gonna walk around, gonna walk around and drink. Gonna walk around, gonna walk around, gonna walk around and drink. Gonna walk around, gonna walk around, gonna walk around and drink. Gonna walk around. Gonna walk around and drink some more. Gonna walk around and drink some more. Gonna walk around and drink some more. I'm gonna walk around and drink some more. Goes out to the students. It's about study drugs. It's called Asking for Some Adderall. Yes, she asks, don't tell her that I'm living hand to mouth. Don't tell her that I'm sleeping on your couch. Yes, she asks, just tell her that we opened for the Stones. It's her favorite band except for the Ramones. And if she happens to suggest a love based on trust and respect, tell her I've been wasted since last week. And if she wants to stop on by, tell her that I almost died. Tell her I ain't seeing people yet. Yeah, but she still sells cigarettes. Yes, yes, don't tell her about the bloodshed in the streets. The less she knows, the less she can repeat. Then if she happens to bring up the pinpricks and the growing up, tell her it's just part of growing up. And if she wants to get involved, tell her to stay in St. Paul. Tell her I ain't out to take a cause, but ask her for some Adderall. Yeah, and see if she can make a call. Just tell her that we're too far gone to deal. She should know exactly how that feels. If she asks you for a scene or four, don't tell her about the kicked in doors. Tell her I ain't even keeping score no more. And if she wants to help the cause, tell her we need tape and gauze. Tell her she should look through all the medicine and see if she's got quantum. I got so much anxiety, I'm afraid she won't get high with me. She drove it like she stole it. She stole it fast and with a multitude of casualties. So I shipped it out from Boulder, packed in coffee grounds and wrapped around in dryer sheets. Spent a few years just wandering the Sonoma, high as hell and shivering as smashed. We're hoping for a vision quest. We open up three buttons, all we saw is desert trash. It's a funny bit of chemistry. A cool car makes a guy seem that much cooler. It's worth noting that throughout history, kids come around the corners to a multitude of casualties. Spent a few years circling the city like a hawk out on the highway. We're looking around for something that just died. We had to take him several eulogy, at least in dying. You don't have to deal with you wait for a second time. After the party, we got off the grid. Just couldn't get with all these clever kids. Now we forge on the frontage roads. We try the nice, I guess it just feels so much safer. We scrounge around for sustenance. Rustly eating in the back half of the theater. Spent a few years nodding off in matinees. High as hell and shivering and smashed. We're hoping for an action adventure. Something loud that we can feel through all the feminists. After the party we got off the ground. Got a new car. Crawled around and lowered. She was at the Citadel. He was getting high as hell. She came to in the matinee. She was asking around for someplace else to stay. He's all crawling around in Lower Town. She's feeling out the 5:30 folk mass. And the night that she got born again, he was getting with her little hood right around. Then in the wet into the water into the one shirt soldier started to cry. Your services always find a way. Their bloody drug to your druggy little messed up teenage boy. And your services, they always find a way to get their bloody cross into your druggy little messed up teenage life.
Thank you.
got screwed by soccer players. She got high for the first time in those camps down by the banks of the Mississippi River. Oh, to be 17 forever. She got confused by the truth. She came to in a confession. She got high for the last time in those camps down by the banks of the river. Oh, to be 33 forever. Got screwed up by her visions. It was scary what she saw. She didn't tell one single person about those camps down by the banks of the Mississippi River. Lord, till he's 17 forever. She got strung out of the scene. She got scared when he got druggy. The little whispers smelled like fangs in the last hour of the party. Lord, till he's 33 forever. Lot to be 33. I've heard about the 930 Club as long as I've known about rock and roll music. This is the first time I think most of us, at least me, have walked through the doors here. It's a great club. It's an honor to play here, and it's really exciting that so many people turned out. I think we spent the day after Thanksgiving with you last year, right? Or then something around that? Anyways, this goes out to the 1990s and the Art Brute. We've had a great tour with them. I think both bands tell the truth. I think that's important. I think that this title of this song, at least, is also true. I think that you can make him like you. Deal with a dealer. It only gets inconvenience when you wanna get high alone. You don't have to know how to get home. There's a boyfriend, tell the driver the best way to go. It only gets kinda weird when you wanna go home alone. You don't have to know the aspiring people. It's a boyfriend, know the aspiring people. You can hang in the kitchen. You can talk about the stories of the upcoming sequel. And if you get out of your boyfriend's thing,
there's always other boys, there's always other boyfriends.
If you get out of your boyfriend's scene,
there's always other scenes, there's always other boyfriends.
You don't have to deal with the dealers. Oh, let your boyfriend deal with the dealers. It only gets inconvenience when you want to get high alone. Let your boyfriend come from the rock out of school. You can wear his own sweatshirt, cover yourself like a broom. If you get out of your boyfriend's thing,
there's always other boys, there's always other boys.
If you get out of his football front,
there's always other boys, there's always other boys.
If you get out of the car he drives,
there's always other boys, and
if you get out of the music he likes,
there's always other.
They say you don't have a problem until you start to do it alone. They say you don't have a problem until you start bringing it home. They say you don't have a other boys and you can make them like it.
Zoe's
other boys and you can make them like you. The Zoe's other boys and you can make them like you. The Zoe's other boys and you can make them like you. I get sick, I just get sad. Cause it bothers being broke. Hurts to be heartbroken. And always being both must be a drag. She's in coffee again. She's in coffee again. Your little hood rat friend, she's in coffee again. And I can't stand all those things that she sticks into her skin. Like sharpened ballpoint pens and steel guitar strings. This is a hearse, but it's worth it. A tiny little sack snatched into her neck and said, Jesus, live tonight for all your sins. She's got blue-black ink and it's scratched into her lower back and says, damn right to rise again, damn right to rise again. Mississippi River. Caught her and was pointed at. She said, St. Teresa came to me a dream. She said, I ain't gonna do anything sexual with you. Gonna save it myself in the scene. And I've been dusting in the dark of the penetration park and I'm a plaster. It's called Minneapolis, Minnesota. I suspected that some of you had heard about it. But man, we play Baltimore October 2nd, 2006. And I think we played here the day after Thanksgiving, roughly. Or 2 days after, 2006. And we haven't been home since, really. So when I talk about my hometown or any of this home shit, it's kind of a fleeting concept. And oftentimes, it means more about people than it does about geographical places. So that said, I want to say hey to our crew that makes every day feel like home. Bob Strago on tech and monitors. Craig McQuist, our tour manager. Andy Gustafson, all the way from St. Paul, in front of the house. And he's not behind there, but we got a merch guy. His name is Ben Godfrey. He's 23 years old, and this is his first time in the United States. And here he is at the Capitol. To the story I was telling before, but I guess I'll try to tie it together by saying that I bet Ben knows some version of Hood Rat Chicks where he's from too. And she said City Center used to be the center of our scene. Now City Center's over, no one really goes there. Then we used to drink beneath some railroad bridge. Sometimes the bus wouldn't even stop. There was just too many kids waiting for a ride, and I jumped from behind an upholstery. Some of the cops slid body to my socks, and I am broke. But you know that they'll stay. South Town girls won't blow you away. But you know that they'll stay. South Town girls won't blow you away. But you know that they'll stay. To the ocean. Take Pan Am to the 494. Leave me right up front of the fabric store. And so look me in the eye, look over at that theater. I'm a little bit surprised you didn't show me that there'd be three of you. How in Bloomington, and what you let them do to you? Now I think that I must throw it in. South girls won't blow you away. But you know that they'll stay. South girls won't blow you away. But you know that they'll stay. Thank you. sail back to the south side. Take a nickel head up to the Vietnamese. Take Panama to the north side. Take Lowry east to the quarry. Meet me right up front of the rainbow foods. I got a brown paper bag and black buckles. Everything seems weird that just grew. Maybe run right up front of the party city. Two-sided tape looks way too sticky. I got a bad case of noise making blues. South Sound girls won't blow you away. Don't you know what they'll say? South Sound girls won't blow you away. But you know that they'll stay. South Sound girls won't blow you away. But you know that they'll stay. South Sound girls won't blow you away. But you know that they'll stay. We're the whole city. Thanks so much for being here.
The whole city. Boy, this crowd loved it. Felt a little like it was kind of abrupt here. But they'll be back. They did some new songs. Maybe more to come. Greg said they're going to go back and work on a new record. Testing some of the songs here tonight. He's such an unlikely looking rock and roller, Craig Finn is. They got an acoustic guitar tuning up on the side there. That'd be a first for the night. About 1,000 people here hoping to hold steady and take the stage again. I'm sure they will. Here they come. Tabs first on stage. Greg's last. Smiling, sipping a beer. Bow into the audience with a big smile on his face.
This has been really fun. I want to say what's up to everyone in Art Brut. Tomorrow's our last night of a 27-day tour with them. They're a great band and great people. Glad you're here. We're here from 9 to 9:45. You know half of that already.
Top of the Pops.
All the men sex on the streets. Gideon makes love to the sweets. Holly's not invincible. In fact, she's in the hospital. Not far from that bar where we met on that first night. Solomon plus three corner scams. Gideon's got a apartment from a Pringles cat. Holly's insatiable. She still looks incredible. She just don't look like that same girl we met on that first night. But she was going out with Barlow. Like she's never been because we can't get as high as we got. Yeah. On that first night. Father talking to the guys with the hearts not dying. You know they're already taking you. So you speak to all the sequence of each book. And when they kiss, they spit white noise. 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 I spell white noise.
dancing in her hallelujah. The kiss they called her Holly. Is she scared of this? She's sorry. She's so stranded at these parties. These parties, they start wobbly. But they get chuggy, and they get ugly, and they get bloody. The deacon caught a draft. The priest just kinda laughed. She crashed in the Easter Mass with her hair turned up in the broken glass. She's all whipping left on broken heels. And she said, Father, can I tell this congregation how a resurrection really feels? Holly was a hood rat. And now you finally know that. She's been disappeared for years. Today she finally came back. St. Louis had to slay me. I guess Santa had to save me. St. Peter had me on the queue, but those St. Paul Saints, they waved me through. I was all wrapped up in some video birth and a heart of said, I love you too. Way beneath the lovers, but never gotten laid. So now she felt protected, and so now she felt afraid. She's been out by some winter just to try to get paid. From some guys she'd originally thought to be a savior. Running them with magic marks, south sides of subway cars. Got a mural up on Easter, sings to the hallelujah, rest in peace. Hallelujah was a hood rod. Now you finally know that she's been disappeared for years. Today she finally came back. Don't turn me on again.
Walk on, man.
You know, I'll probably just go and get myself off guard again.
Walk on, man.
She said, don't turn me on again.
Walk on, man.
You know, I'll probably just go and get myself off guard again.
Walk on, man.
She said, don't turn me on again.
Walk on, man.
You know, I'll probably just go get myself off guard again. Hallelujah, it was a sexy mask. She looked strung out but experienced. Well, we all got kind of curious.
Thank you.
know me pretty well, some of you don't. That said, when I look out at the crowd tonight, I'm pretty sure I went to college with at least half of you. But it's come to the part of the show where I only have one more thing to say. The thing is, I say it pretty much every night, but I would not say it if it wasn't true. And so, well, here goes. Sometimes it's hard to really explain it. You want to do it perfectly, and you want to. It's just. Well, it's like this. It's that there is so much joy in what we do up here. I want to thank you all for being here tonight to share that joy with us. You're Washington DC's. You're the 930 Club. We're the Hall Steady. I hope to see you again. Ask about Charlemagne. Just be polite. Say something vague, like another lover lost to the restaurant rake. And if they ask why we left in the first place, say we were young. We were so in love, and I guess we just needed space. And we heard about this place they call the United States. We found out Virginia, it really is for the lovers. The belly's full of friendly friends. It'll love you like a brother. Pensacola party's hard with the poppers and the pills and the Pepsi. And New York City is straight speedy, but they throw such killer parties. Killer parties almost kill me. Parties almost kill me. We'll be right back. says we partied. I'm pretty sure we partied. I really don't remember. I remember we departed from our bar. And we woke up in the Ybor City. Top of the Pops, Washington, D.C., the 930 Club. All you guys, all us guys, I swear to God, I promise you, we're all the whole study.
Encore, Tad Kubler climbed the top of the speaker cabinets here at the 930 Club, played from there. The guitarist from Art Brut helped him down, but grabbed his guitar and helped play the last song. Mark Greenhouse did the engineering. Joel Dietrichson, the great pictures. Justin Fernando is our intern. Robin Hilton produced the show for NPR Music. I'm Bob Boylan. Have a good night, everybody. It's All Songs Considered.
I'm in the dressing room here with Craig Finn and Eddie Argus. You said, you mentioned to me, this is sort of the end of the road. Have you the two bands been touring?
Yeah, we started out on October 22nd, I believe, or 21st.
Exactly, it was the 21st.
I have it on this. It's on the 21st.
It's exactly a month the tour.
So it's exactly a month, and we did 27 shows, and all of which were The Hold Steady and Art Brut, and we had four different openers along the way. Tonight, second to last night, tomorrow night it ends in New York, which is becoming a tradition. We've played the night before Thanksgiving 2 years in a row now.
Huh.
So it's kind of a nice way to wrap it up. The crew is going to come over to my house and stuff. We're going to have Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, so you've got, yeah, and you said you had the Thanksgiving
dinner. Yeah, I got the turkey just today in D.C. and put it in the bay of our bus. So as long as it holds, which I think it will, it's kind of chilly down there. It should be fine.
Whose idea was this to put these two bands together? Because I thought, what a terrific match.
Well, it came up really through, and at least the way I saw it, through management. But, you know, the people talked to the people. We were both mutual fans. So it was a tour. It's a tour that makes sense, I think, to
really
people across the board. So
we've always been asked, like, when you, like, our agent's quite good and says, what bands do you like in America? Because he knows it's bad to tour with the band you don't like. Do you know what I mean? So we'll just give him a list of bands that we liked. And then we got to, yeah. So it worked out like
can't
that,
beat really. That. Now, what is? I mean, it seems obvious to me, and maybe everyone else who loves you guys, what's such a great match about you both is you both make and tell wonderful stories. I'd imagine that somewhere in your lives that maybe you wish to one day be novelists.
I have a book that's so barely started that I'm shy. I mentioned it once, and now I always talk. And now I've talked about it way more than I've actually written. So I do have this kind of great story that I want to turn into a novel, and I've all these outlines and, you know, a couple pages and here and there. And I've talked to people about it. And people are like, yes, come see us when it's done. And then I just haven't really had the time.
Can you do it at all? Can you write it all and tuck away in a half hour sometime?
It has to be at home. It doesn't go that well on the road. Yeah. I can, and, you know, I'm writing for another record. So it's sort of shelved in my mind, you know. Anyways, we're going to come off the road and start another record. So
wow.
Keeping busy.
And can you, the idea of writing on the road for most musicians is just a silly thing to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really writing. It's kind of more just firming things up and maybe, you know, playing with a couple lines here and there in each song. We've demoed about 15 songs in September. We've been playing about 7
When you say demo, you're talking about going in
a studio but space. Kind of doing a quick recording, but professional enough so you can hear everything. Okay. And then it's really for the producer and whatnot. And then we've been playing 7 or 8 of those new songs during this tour. So it's, you know, kind of getting ready, see what works, what kind of, when you get on stage, sometimes a part kind of drags on too long. You're like, this needs to be cut in half. But, you know, you can tell certain things from being on stage. I feel pretty well.
Eddie, your stories as well are in your songs. Does a short form of roughly the 3-minute pop thing frustrate you, and you've got a book in your drawer somewhere?
I've got such a short attention span. I think anything. I love writing songs. Yeah. I'd like to write a book or something, but I get bored straight away. I think I used to say I was writing a play all the time. I thought it might be easy to do in my head or a sitcom, but yeah, I think it's, you know. But no, my punctuation grammar is terrible as well. So I'd have a very good editor if I was writing a book.
That's what I was going to say. That's what editors are for. Are there in the book world, or for me, in having been in the news world and stuff, there's always an editor that looks at your work before it hits the public, and it's really an interesting process, and it helps. I think it helps for clarity's sake. Is there something about you that plays that role, be it the audience, or you were saying, Craig, that, you know, on stage it feels long? What plays a role of an editor in your world?
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, one is yourself. Number two is your bandmates. And number three, you know, lastly, is the record producer. And I think that's, you know, it's just good. That I think, is maybe the most useful, the producer. And then it's great to have an outside ear where no one's has their own, you know, agenda. Like, maybe we should do that half as long, but I'll do my guitar solo twice as long. and turn me up while you're at it. No, I mean, the producer kind of has an outside ear and say, you know what, when I listen to the song, it dies right here. That line kind of seems awkward.
Mm-hmm. You got to really like this person.
Yeah, but you know, you pick someone that you trust.
I guess
you pick
someone you trust, maybe. So who have you picked?
The guy who's producing our next record was the guy who produced the last one. His name is John Agnello. And he's
worked a great job.
A lot of different things over the years, both as an engineer and a producer.
Can you think of something that he did on the current record? I mean, I know it's been a while now. But
yeah.
I think he
did some stuff on Chips Ahoy, I think. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he got the break shortened. It kind of was going, it was building slower and slower and slower, and he kind of got it condensed into sort of 3 little sections. And that's the, you know, that's the kind of thing that he seems to do well. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess those are the big ones.
Eddie, for you, you've got 2 records, the 2 different processes. I don't really know. Do you have 2 different producers on?
Yeah. I really like our last producer, Dan Swift. Uh-huh. He was kind of like that. He could say things too that, you know, hard to take from people that you're not really friendly with.
Yeah,
do you mean? Yeah. So I also kind of like people that are a little bit rude anyway. Do you mean? I like people. I kind of, that's the sort of person that I like. Someone's a bit sarky. Do you mean? So it's good. Yeah, but I mean, I have so little to do with the music, and you know, I just kind of come and stick the words on it at the end.
So how does that? How does it work? I mean, seems like the words are the base of the song, and
I don't know. I mean, I think I get away with loads of. Like, I can't really sing. I'm saying some pretty stupid stuff sometimes. Do you mean? I think I get away with that because they're playing such good music underneath it. I mean, so that's kind of how it works, I think. But with the first album, it was mainly written. I think most bands' first albums are kind of written live. It's just like a collection of songs that you've got.
Yeah.
And then the second album's like you've sat down and you've written it together.
Now you've
got to
work and do something.
Yeah. So it's completely different processes for both albums, I think. But yeah. Yeah, I kind of prefer sitting down and writing. I mean, I really enjoy writing. So it's kind of nice just like this album's a bit more about this than it is. Our first album is like, it's about art, and then it's about an Italian terrorist, and then it's about being like, there's nothing in common with any of the songs.
Yeah.
There's almost a theme with the second album, which I kind of like.
Do you go back to your writing? It doesn't seem that way. I mean, maybe that's what makes a good writer is you, when you hear it, you think this all just came out in a burst. But really, the secret of a lot of good writers is the fact that they know how to hone in.
I think things get rewritten a lot live, I think. Like, I think, oh, this is really good. And then when you're playing to an audience, you end up changing the lyrics and stuff. We still do it now, even with songs that are finished. I mean, so it's kind of... I think when you've got an audience, you just end up being different. And then you get to writing the album, and you've got your favourite version that you did live. Do you mean? I kind of... Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of find it.
But how much is it... I mean, I don't know. When you're on stage, it's not that much that you can see... What is it that you're telling from the audience, or is it just the way you feel that it's, is it internal, or is it really something that the audience is giving back to you that helps you change the song?
I think both. I mean, it's best, I think, when like you're feeding off of the audience and you're getting excited and they're getting excited off you mm-hmm. being excited about them. That's when it's the best, you know, you can work things out. But yeah, I think both those ways, Jimmy. So it's,
And for you, Craig, can you tell what's going on in the audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think more so it's internal. I mean, if you feel like, oh, I'm just standing up here and all these people are looking at me, then that song's probably not quite done. You know, it needs a little work, you know? So I think that that's one of the things. I mean, the interesting thing about now is, you know, we've been doing these new songs on this tour and people YouTube them. And then the fans come and they know the words. And I'm like, how do you know the words? This song's not done.
That has changed.
It's going to change. Yeah. And so it's almost like every time you play it, you're kind of releasing it. And what the people who are paying that much attention are going to find out is that, you know, I change my lyrics up until the second I get in the studio. So what I hope it doesn't be is like, I liked it better when you said that line. This
way. You'll always get some of that. But yeah.
Hopefully not too much.
Can you see in musically... obviously, Eddie, you have a great love for American music, and without any question, Craig, you're a part of good American music. Is there, if you like, did this trace back into root, do you think there'd be some common musician that you both absolutely must love?
I think we both like Jonathan Richman.
Jonathan Richman.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Yeah.
Bob Dylan.
The Mountain Goats.
Yeah, and the Mountain Goats. Who are more of a contemporary, but you know, John was actually at two of the shows on this tour, as a fan, really, and. Yeah, I think those are Jonathan Richman and Bob Dylan are the obvious.
And, you know, when you say Jonathan Richman and you say Mountain Goats, there's a very descriptive simplicity in the writing, but you certainly can't say that of Bob Dylan, which is, you know, just more the opposite. It's hard to figure, but it's potent and meaningful. And
it is, I mean, but it's you know, I think in all cases, it's rock and roll, good rock and roll bands with you know, very good storytellers or lyricists. Dylan, obviously, is sometimes obscure, but.
That's good about Dylan, too. Like, he's funny without being a joke. I mean,
right.
I can laugh at Dylan's songs, but that's brilliant.
I
mean,
I think that that's a similarity between our two bands, or at least our two lyrics, in that I think that, and we've said this before in a different interview, that I think the best rock and roll is funny. And I think that there's elements of humor in both of our bands. And I think, you know, whether it's Bob Dylan or Chuck Berry or the Mountain Goats or Jonathan Richman, they're all funny in some way. Not like you know, making you laugh.
Well, they're truth funny. I mean, that's what gets me about... I mean, if I listen to a song like The Chill Out Tent and the story that goes on between the boy and the girl and that, it's sad and it's funny.
Yeah.
And Eddie, your songs seem to me to come as just... direct, real stories that aren't meant to be anything, but there they are. And in the way you present them, they're even funnier than the situations.
I'm telling true stories quite a lot, so it's kind of, I have to put like a bit of a joke in because to deflect it from yourself. Yeah, right. Like Emily Kane was a real person and stuff, so you have to laugh about it, otherwise, you know, it's just tragic.
I was stunned. I mean, I remember when I heard that song for the first time, I was stunned. I'm like, oh my God, he's not making this up, you know? Like, this is a real person. I knew it before the song was over, just because I knew that it was too descriptive not, mm-hmm. you know? I don't think he would have done it if it wasn't true.
I would say the big difference between the two of you, and I could be wrong, is that yours are true stories that are painted fairly stripped down and just, you know, you speak, sing them. Mm-hmm. And yours are more complex little tales, and I don't know how much comes from you and
they're,
how much.
I mean, they're more sprawling. They're more. I mean, I like to use the term cinematic, in that, like, right. You know, I got a lot of influence when I was a kid from Bruce Springsteen, who sort of felt like sometimes he was describing a film, you know, that you could see in your head, and that's something I go for. And a lot of you're right. I mean, they're influenced by people that I came across in my life, but they aren't. You know, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Right. So there is a difference there, but hopefully they're still. Explain some real simple, or you know, hit upon some simple, honest truths that are, you know, that people do relate to universally.
You notice your songs, and this will, I don't know how far apart in age you are, but you
quite a bit, 8 years, right?
No, I was gonna say 10, but
I'm 28,
I'm 36.
Okay, so eight. Yeah, when you were Eddie's age, could you see where your songs would head, and do you think your songs have changed much since? The sorts of things you were writing about, how you wrote about them, how complex they were. Did that change?
One thing, I mean, when I was 28, I was in Minneapolis, and when I moved to New York, I started to write more of songs that were kind of set in Minneapolis because it gave me perspective on what was kind of unique about that place. I guess I knew where it was heading, but I knew sort of what I could do, what I did better than, you know, not. And so I saw it going a certain way, but you know, one of the big things is once I had a band when I was 28, Lift Your Puller, and no one was listening to it. So once people start paying attention, that sort of also changes your.
And I was wondering about that because I hear that. Look, I don't know how you do just the honest sort of song that you might do about a person that's real and say it in front of an audience, and then you got to deal with the person who it's real. I don't know how you do that, but. When Lily Allen, for example, did that stuff, she figured no one's going to listen to a song about my brother. No one's going to hear it. So what the heck's the difference? Yeah. But then now everybody hears a song like Alfie.
Right.
And now the brother is like, oh, how could you have done that? Well, I don't know quite if he's done that. But so you've got to deal with you know, people you write about. Good. Does that change when you go to write the things?
My little brother's my song about my little brother. I was really worried about him. Like, he was living on my floor and stuff. And I was a bit jokey, but I really was genuinely worried about him. And it was like, stay off the crack at the end and stuff, because he's into the Libertines and all this business. Yeah. I was really worried about him. And he said, I hate that song. It's so patronizing. I never touch crack. Do you know this? So he's really angry at me and says it's patronizing. But I have seen him dancing to it, so I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, Emily Kane was good, because she did get in touch after she heard it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But which was the plan, really. Kind of, you know, I'll write the song. She's going to hear it. We're going to fall in love. That was kind of the plan. She's engaged to somebody else. So it doesn't work out.
There's always a future.
Yeah. But yeah.
But does it, and as you get more popular and, you know, people are going
to
hear
these
songs. I kind
of like it. I mean, after we play and stuff, people come up to me and say, like, how's Emily? Or what's up with your brother? Or we've got a song about male impotence. And sometimes men go up to me after that and go, oh, that's nice to have a song about that. I mean, yeah, of course, it's about Jasper. But yeah. but it's kind of nice to hang out. You know, it's like making loads of friends, really. And when you're away from home so much, it's kind of nice to have people to talk to every night about things, you know, and hang out. Mm-hmm. So
have you been to Minneapolis or Brooklyn?
Twice. Yeah, we played Minneapolis with the host.
On this tour we played. That was probably the biggest show was Minneapolis. It was a weird one, though, because it was a seated. It was the only seated show we've ever played, you know, with the assigned seats. So it's pretty weird because you get on stage and your best fans aren't closest to you.
Yeah.
So you sort of don't know where to look. So it was, there was an awkwardness to it, but it was still nice. I mean, it was a big theater, and it was kind of a real cool homecoming for me.
What's your town like? Is it anything like Minneapolis?
Where I'm from, originally.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah.
Dorset was a seaside town. Uh-huh. Really, there's nothing really.
Not really
kind
like
of shuts down in the winter.
No.
And loads of bands are from there, I think, because there's nothing to do except being a band. The drummer from Block Party is from there, uh-huh. And like some of Blur are from there, and Helps You Can't Swim. Jamie from the Klaxons. I knew all these people growing up and stuff too, which is kind of funny. They were our own little scene in Bournemouth. And so it's kind of nice that we all kind of see each other and go, oh, that's funny.
So yeah. Is it a resort?
Town? Nah, it's just on the beach. It's just.
Is it like Portsmouth?
No, it's nicer than Portsmouth. No, like it's like families go there with their kids and stuff in the summer. You know, it's like I don't know, just a beach. It may be the nicest beach in England, all this kind of business. I grew up there hating it. I hate this place. I hate it. I'm moving away. And then the other day we were at the beach in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I miss the beach. Like, oh, I'm from a really beautiful town. I don't know why I was so angry with it when I was growing up.
So where are you now? You're
I live in London now, which I love, actually. So it's much better than Bournemouth.
Still thinking of moving to LA?
I'm a little bit. It's nice there. I can't drive, so I'd have to get a chauffeur, I think.
That would be bad.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the tonight.
Oh, thank you. Last night.
Can you tell me, Craig, who's on stage with you? And then I'd just like to acknowledge the musicians.
Stage will have Ted Kubler on lead guitar, myself on vocals and guitar. Franz Nicolai plays keys and guitar. Galen Polivka is on bass, and Bobby Drake plays the drums.
Fantastic. And who's in the band in Art Brut?
Freddie Feedback on bass. Mikey from the Block on drums.
And that's his real name.
Yeah.
Mikey from the Block, yeah, that's what he's christened. It's a German surname, The Block. Mikey from the Eastern Block. yeah, Freddie Feedback on bass, Jasper on guitar, and Ian actually playing the guitar.
What do you mean by that, actually?
You know, Jasper only plays the big fat one at the top. Whereas Ian plays all the strings.
Okay. Might be, yeah. Thank you both. So, thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Do well.
Aces. Cheers.